Well, let me say good evening to you again. And I don't know how you feel about Christmas and about all of this that we are doing, but I want you to know that I absolutely love Christmas. My family, I have six children. My wife says it's like having seven children at this time of year. That is how much I love it. I love everything about it. I love the food, I love the time with family, I love the decorations, I love singing carols. It's all brilliant. And I also love how at Christmas, this really weird thing happens in our culture, doesn't it? It's like everything changes, everything in our culture changes. You know, it doesn't matter what music you normally like, all the radio stations are suddenly playing Slade and Shaken Stevens. And we eat food that we'd never normally eat, don't we? I heard just this morning that apparently the royal family have a tradition that you get weighed when you arrive for Christmas dinner and then again when you leave just to make sure that you can prove you've had a good feed. I think that's brilliant. I think I might institute that in my house as well. So on Christmas Day, I don't know, we might have brunch at 10 and then at 2 we have a massive turkey, which, let's face it, we never eat at any other time of the year, do we, that meat? And then we add, I don't know, 16 types of vegetable, and we follow it all off with the richest pudding known to man. And then, about an hour later, we crack open the fruitcake and cheese, just to keep us going. And tomorrow, I know, we'll smoke a ham. I mean, we never usually do that kind of thing, do we? So I was chatting with a friend recently about what it is that makes Christmas so great. And we covered the usual things: family, friends, food, presents. And then she said, maybe it's that it gives us hope in the middle of the dark winter. I thought that was pretty deep. But when I asked exactly what people hope for at Christmas, she wasn't really sure. She just said, well, I guess just something better next year. That was all she could manage. Now, I remember once I met a lady wearing a badge that actually said, I hate Christmas. So being the Christmas lover that I am, I made what I hoped was a light-hearted comment, you know, something like, ah, bah humbug, is it? At which she looked at me stony-faced and said, I think people who are happy at Christmas are just being naive. Wow. But I guess all of this gets me thinking, what is it about Christmas and optimism? Come January, the only thing that will really have changed will be, I guess, the number on the calendar and maybe the size of your waist. I mean, are we just kidding ourselves? Is all this just, I don't know, naive escapism until the reality of January? Or could there really be something to be truly hopeful for at Christmas time? Well, I hope that you'll have guessed by the fact that I'm standing here in a church, in a carol service, that I think there really is hope to be had at Christmas. And I want to share it with you. So for about the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to focus on one of the readings we just heard, the reading we just heard read, actually, from John's account of Jesus' life. Listen to these famous words again. You may have heard them, Christmas after Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So it's right at the beginning of John's account of the life of Jesus, and John introduces somebody whom he nicknames the Word. Don't worry about why he calls him that just yet. We'll get to that. But for now, listen to the three things that he tells us about him. First, he says, he is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, at the beginning of all things, before the world had even been created, the Word already existed. Second, he is the creator of everything. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And third, as if it wasn't clear enough already, he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. in some mysterious way, this person both was with God, and distinct from him, and was God, united with him. So John is saying that this person who he wants to introduce us to, the Word, is God, the eternal creator of everything. And then he goes a bit further, because a few short sentences later, we heard it. He says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Do you hear what he's saying? John is saying that God himself, who created everything out of nothing, who needs nothing, who is dependent for nothing, became human with all our weaknesses and all our needs. So I guess maybe some of us are thinking, so far so fantastical, right? Well, it might sound strange, maybe just part of the magic of Christmas, but for John, this is down to earth and real. Because the person he's talking about here isn't just some kind of magical legend. He's a friend, somebody that he spent time with, that he ate with, that he heard teach, that he got to know, and someone that he watched die. Because he's talking about his friend, Jesus. And that's why he says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, which translated into the English from the English basically means John knows Jesus is God because Jesus proved it. Through his life and all that he did, through his death and his resurrection, he proved it to the people around him, just like John. And that's why one of the titles that you all often hear given to Jesus at Christmas is Emmanuel. It means God with us. Just take a minute to think about that. It is completely mind-blowing. John's claim in the first pages of his account of Jesus' life is that at that first Christmas, God gave up his place of power, his place as creator of everything, thousands of angels singing praise to him, not just to become human, but to wrap himself up in roughly 7 pounds of human flesh as a totally dependent and helpless baby, to join us. And you know, it's not only that. John also says that Jesus came to join us in what he calls our darkness. Did you hear that? In the Word, says John, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. A few years ago, I met a guy who used to be the PE teacher for Paul Scholes. Paul Scholes was once a footballer for Man United in England, one of the best footballers of his generation. And apparently, when he was at school, when it came the time for football, Paul was always picked last. You know when the two captains line up and they start picking their friends? Paul was always left till last. And then all the boys would plead with their PE teacher, "Sir, please, can Paul go in goal?" And why would they do that? Having Paul Scholes on your team and you're guaranteed to win, just give him the ball and watch him do what he can do. But the thing was that without Paul, the other boys could pretend they were pretty good at football. Until he comes along and suddenly all their lack of ability is exposed. And you know, that's a little bit like what John says here. Because the thing is, that just like those boys at football, we are not as good as we think we are. You might be sitting here thinking, of course God would want to spend time with me, come at Christmas. I'm brilliant. To which I would say, yes, if you're comparing yourself with other people. There's always one way or another that we can look sideways and feel pretty good about ourselves or okay about ourselves. But according to John, our hearts are dark places. Your heart is a dark place. If you don't believe me, just ask yourself what your reaction would be If I could somehow project every thought you've ever had onto that screen right now, you'd never come near this church again. The thing is, we're not to compare ourselves to other people. We're to compare ourselves to the perfection of God. And John says that at that first Christmas, Jesus came as God walking around in the end, standing right beside us. Which is why John describes Jesus as a light shining in the darkness. He lights up the darkness of our hearts and shows us how bad they really are. Up next to Jesus, I'm filthy. Is it any wonder that people are so quick to reject him, to stick him in goal? Like John says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Which I guess begs a massive question. Why? Why would God do this? Why would he step down to join us in our darkness and filth, only to be rejected? Well, here is where we get the answer to why John nicknames him the Word in the first place. Because if you think about it, words are about communication, aren't they? If you didn't already know me, before I stood up right here, you wouldn't have known very much about me. But as soon as words started coming out of my mouth, you know that I'm from somewhere nondescript in the south of England. You know that now that I love Christmas, that I've got six children, and so on and so on. My words reveal things about me, and that is what's going on here in this part of John. As the Word from God, Jesus shows us who God is in the clearest version of our own language we could possibly want. God as one of us. But again, you might ask, why? Why would God go to such lengths to show us who he is and what he's like? Wouldn't a letter, maybe a few pictures, a postcard or something like that have done? Well, think in your mind back the news over the last kind of couple of years. Think to the last time you can remember that a group of public workers went on strike. Maybe lecturers, junior doctors, postal workers, tube drivers, whatever it might be. If things get really bad, it feels like there can be no way through, doesn't it? Like there's just no way through. And talks are called. But talks between who exactly? You can't get all the government and all the workers together in one room to thrash it out. So talks happen between mediators and representatives. Someone represents government to workers and workers to government. But what do you do if it's not two groups of people who need mediation? What if it is God and people? If we're as dark as John says, and we reject God when he comes to us, then that's a chasm that, well, we can't bridge. How could anyone mediate there? No mere man can represent us to God, but then how can God represent himself to us? Well, John gives us the answer. To all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So here is the reason to be hopeful at Christmas. In amongst our darkness and our rejection of God, he has acted so that we can have a restored relationship with him. Jesus is God become human so that he can perfectly represent God to us and perfectly represent us to God. That first Easter, by dying on the cross, taking the punishment we deserve from God for rejecting him, so that any who receive him can become children of God. So I hope, like me, that you think Christmas is great. There's so much to enjoy. But if you see all the stuff and you miss the real hope, then when it's all over, all you'll really have is Tuesday afternoon. There'll be a little more of you than normal, and you'll have a messier house than normal. But besides that, that'll be it. Another Tuesday afternoon just with the Queen on telly. So please don't stay on the surface, enjoying the feeling of hope that lasts till mid-January. Look deeper into this. You know, a great way to do that this evening would be to take a copy of John's account of Jesus' life from us. You can grab one from me on the door on the way out. Take it away and read more about this person, Jesus. Look further than the baby in the manger. See how he was born to live and shine that light of God's purity on our hearts, to die and give us opportunity to be friends with God, to be children of God. Another great way would be to join our next Explore course. That's a chance to meet with others and ask all the questions you could want to. There are flyers on your chairs scattered around the building that look like this. Whatever you do, please don't stay on the surface enjoying the feeling of hope that lasts till January. Please take a deeper look at that first Christmas and the baby in the manger who is the God who came to save us. Let's have a moment of quiet.